Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, coming up on the show, we talk to Daniel Collins of the ChinaMoneyReport.com. But first, in his inaugural address, President Thomas Jefferson promised the American people peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Ha 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 ha, the apple has fallen indeed very far from the tree, Stacy.
Yes, we've come a long way in the past few hundred years. We now have entangling alliances with many, and we have war almost everywhere. And now we have commerce screeching to a halt in this day of deglobalization, some say. But certainly there is a trade war going on. Markets reacted in the last week with the biggest decline since 2014. So it's been, a pretty bad week. And what set it off? Well, Trump slaps China with tariffs on up to $60 billion in imports. This is the first of many, he said. This is after the steel tariffs, which, by the way, in the past week, we've also learned that they're basically every country in the world is exempt from it. But the new measures are designed to penalize China for trade practices that the Trump administration says involve stealing American companies' intellectual property. They will primarily target certain products in the tech sector where China holds an advantage over the U.S. The new measures follow a so-called 301 investigation led by the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer into China's potentially unfair trade practices with the U.S.
Well, you know, America owes a great deal to its puritanical past and the idea of thrift and frugality. Why do I bring that up? Because, you know, when Clinton was president, China joined the World Trade Organization, the WTO, and Americans, they took their little scrappy incomes and they bought lots and lots of stuff at Walmart that came from China, even though it meant losing their jobs as factories went from America to China. They lost the vision of frugality and they went into instant gratification. Gotta get that big screen TV. Gotta get that new pair of sneakers. And now here we are with the reverse kicking in because China could not build their economy at the expense of the American worker forever. So Trump is saying, okay, now we've got to essentially kick China out of the World Trade Organization effectively by introducing lots of tariffs. And now it's trade war. Trade war, which of course leads to hot war. So this is the beginning and the countdown to what CNN would call a ratings boost.
Indeed. And of course, this comes a week after the Trump administration also used an executive order using national security as an argument to stop Broadcom from buying Qualcomm, Broadcom being a Singapore-based company. And basically, the administration argued that if Qualcomm were bought by Broadcom, then Huawei would basically run away with a whole microchip market. So Trump's trade director, Peter Navarro, also said that the U.S. is defending itself against economic aggression. So let's go to our guest. You mentioned Dan Collins of the China Money Report and see how this is playing out over in China, because China has said they will retaliate with some tariffs and sanctions against America in retaliation. But, they don't actually import that much from America. So Dan Collins, how's it going down in China?
Hey, Max. Hey, Stacey. Over here in China, obviously it's making a lot of news. And that's, I think, because the way it's taken is it's kind of a out there, direct, in their face kind of a challenge. And it's quite comical when we say they're going to hit back, but they already have much higher duties on American products than the U.S. is putting on their products. But they threaten to fight back with the only things they do import, like soybeans and scrap steel and maybe some Napa Valley wines. But other than that, they have very little leverage to try to fight back in this trade war, but that won't stop them from vocally being out there in the press ranting and raving against it.
Okay, let's put into context the amount of trade going on between the U.S. and China. In particular, China's trade surplus is $375 billion with the U.S. And China's foreign ministry argued last week, Dan, he argued that it should not be punished if it doesn't want to buy what the U.S. is selling. Are we going to see, back in the 18th century, we had the opium wars. Are we going to see opioid wars? Because, of course, America is a huge producer of opioids, and we see what's happened across the United States as the mortality rate has risen for the first time in like 100 years due to opioid addiction. Are we going to see some sort of opioid wars?
Yeah, well, I think we have the opium wars in reverse now. So actually, a lot of that fentanyl and opiate products coming in from China and FedEx and UPS right into the country. And U.S. has asked China to stop that. But going back on the tariff things, China's probably not going to feel much of these tariffs, especially with steel. They make 831 million tons of steel. The U.S. makes 82 million tons. So about less than 10% of the steel. You know, China makes more in a month than the United States makes all year. There are cities in China that make more steel than the entire country of the United States. The United States is now down to 7th or 8th. You know, people look at steel and aluminum as old industries, but it's up. Production's up 300% since the 60s. China's gone from 14 million to 831 million tons since 1967. And the U.S. number has dropped by about half since 1967. And that's, if you look at steel, China supports it. They have state-owned electric companies provide subsidized electric rates, which is the highest cost in steel production. They provide credit. That's the biggest debt about to burst is Chinese steel companies. And they have state-owned steelmakers that don't have to make money. So this is China flagrantly violates WTO rules. Japan did it to the United States first. Korea did it to the United States second. And now China is just too big to take it anymore. U.S. is down to, and I've heard they have one machine aluminum supplier left in the defense industry. I mean, it's completely incompetitive. That's why we pay $1 trillion for the new F-35 strike fighter, is that we've been deindustrialized. Take a look at an aerial photo of Hiroshima and Detroit. You'd swear it was Detroit that got nuked and never rebuilt, not Hiroshima. And this is just a record of, Washington, D.C. politicians have slit the throat of the middle class using unfair trade practices.
All right. So Trump keeps highlighting the $375 billion surplus China has with the U.S. in trade. And you've outlined why these tariffs are probably going to be ineffective in steel and aluminum. So what do you think would be Trump's next move? He's committed to this. What comes out next, Dan?
Well, I think, he starts at a high point and then negotiates down. I think he's, says, I want $30 billion reduction, $60 billion reduction. I would say these supply chains have been built over decades. So you have the worst thing businesses hate is uncertainty. So we have to change the system gradually. I think the tariffs will help rebuild the U.S. industry, but it won't phase China. It's really a win-win. China wants to take hundreds of millions of tons of steel and aluminum offline anyways. So I would say, it's a step in the right direction. It won't affect China that much, but we have to be careful in dealing with them so that we do not. There are always side effects to disrupting supply chains too rapidly.
Now, of course, we have spoken to you over the past few years, both here on Double Down and on our television show, Kaiser Report. And you were the first to mention this over a year ago. You said that when Trump was first elected, you said that America has been engaged in a trade war with China. It's just that they haven't realized it and China's been winning. And at that time, you did mention that one of the ways that basically Trump could start to win the trade war for America would be to cut taxes. He has now cut taxes, which was surprising that he was able to get that through, I guess because the Democrats aren't really in opposition at this moment as they're engaged in many conspiracy theories. But was it enough to even compete? Because tell the audience what the corporate tax rate is in China and what their competitors in America, what our corporate tax rate has been cut a little bit, but not that much.
Yeah. So over the last 20 years, as China has industrialized and gone high tech, they have sucked in foreign multinationals here with promises of 0% tax for 3 to 5 years. Then after that, you pay 15%. During these whole last decades, two decades, U.S. corporates with physical assets in the United States have been paying 40%. You add on that, have to pay health care for workers out of completely mispriced health care costs. And of course, everybody shut down and left. I personally have shut down. I can't even count how many plants, and I've opened, I can't count how many plants, in China. And this has gone in company after company after company because the system has not been set up right. So China has 15% tax rate. At most, you pay 24% tax. Now the U.S. has finally decided we're going to get back in the ball game, and we're going to reduce the corporate tax to have people encourage jobs. Because guess what? We weren't collecting corporate taxes from the big multinationals anyway because they're all offshore. The whole supply chain is manufactured China, run the invoicing through Hong Kong or Bermuda and have a warehouse in the United States and record all the profits offshore. That's not a secret. That's what everyone has done. That's how this whole ridiculous global supply chain has been set up. So the 20% tax rate now, the U.S., the Americans are now poor enough. And I was talking with the CEO with a lot of plants in South Texas now. This is not Mexico, South Texas. Their fully loaded cost for a direct labor worker is now only $17,000 a year. So basically now for a worker in a plant in the United States, you need food stamps just to survive. And in China, it's $13,000. So it's actually almost parity now between Chinese workers and workers in the United States, south of the border. I mean, very close to the border. So we've taken out the middle class completely. We now have the cheap labor that the Democrats and Republicans wanted. We have the 20% tax rates. I think we finally bottom out. And if we keep our senses, we'll start to see manufacturing and industry start to rebound in the country over the next couple decades.
When China did warn this past week that they might impose some counter tariffs, one thing they mentioned were pork products coming in from America. But of course, China is the biggest owner of and producer of pork from America. So that's the amazing thing that many Americans might not know is agriculture is always throughout history. You need to control your own agricultural supply. But apparently, China actually owns that as well.
Yeah, pork prices in China, due to the, you know, how popular pork is as a dish and inflation that's existed here the last 10, 20 years, pork is about four times the price of the United States. So yeah, they bought as you're exactly right, and I laughed about the same thing. They bought the second largest American pork producer, and you know, most of that gets made over there and shipped over here. Yeah, there's very little in terms of trade China has to counter with. I mean, they literally have no one to blame but themselves. They've been playing, and I've said it before many times on your show, Japan won't buy Korean steel, Korean won't buy Japanese steel, neither one of them buy Chinese steel, vice versa. They are mercantile nations. They do what's best for their own country and develop their own industries and create jobs for their own people. They're not into this WTO. You can go over and put a contract in front of their face. Yeah, they'll sign it. TPP took 7 years to negotiate. You think anyone's really going to follow that? But then at the end of the day, they're going to do what's best for their own people and their own industries. And now finally, in the United States, at least some people have woken up and said, you know what, we just got to do what we have to do.
So in the minute we have remaining, Dan, where are we in the currency war? Of course, China's got a huge reserve of currencies, many dollars, trillion dollar worth of dollars. And that's part of the levers that can be adjusted to engage in trade and trade war. Where are we in the reserves battle and the currency battle, Dan?
Well, the Chinese central bank, you know, is the world's largest central bank with about $6 trillion in assets, and they have recently over this threatened to pull back on U.S. treasuries. However, if they did that, the renminbi would instantly start to skyrocket, which would make their trade position, you know, even worse in their eyes. So, yeah, I mean, look for all weapons to be pushed here. China is the 800-pound gorilla in real manufacturing and economic power globally. Most of the world's number one trading partner is China now. Nobody needs American credit default swaps, and most of our other businesses we've gotten rid of. So unless somebody needs some American food stamps or something, we don't have much to trade left. So I don't know, it'll be a race between American debt, which is skyrocketing, versus trying to restart the real economy in the U.S. You know, it's going to be a tightrope act to walk.
Well, we'll certainly stay tuned to this tight wire walk toward a potential trade war with China. And perhaps, by the way, much of the rest of the world, because I don't think Germany is particularly happy with Trump's tariffs and threats of trade wars. But nevertheless, it's an exhilarating tight wire performance by the tweeting president in chief, Trump. And by the way, let's not forget that China has also taken the first steps towards a petro yuan. So will we see a new monetary superpower? And will this challenge dollar supremacy? And whether or not this puts the kibosh on the American industrial revival that, Dan, you said, is perhaps on the horizon. Only time will tell.
Uh-huh, exactly. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Dan Collins of the ChinaMoneyReport.com. Until next week, bye, y'all.